Well, Danny, no one knows better than you about cultivating talent in music. I mean, it's all here to see. So many hundreds, I suppose, you've put through your lesson.
I wouldn't need to have to count them.
Yeah, indeed, yes. But you've a poem here called Bring It Alive, which maybe you'd like to read to us.
Yeah.
It's about that process, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's kind of that. It's like a farmer going out to and you let a field of lee, it has to slee for a long time. Mm-hmm. So the music was kind of dead around on the show, and there was nobody at all playing. So I thought, God, Father Jack Galler and this man, Michael Hines, he was a school inspector that tortured me to teach music.
Yes.
And I didn't want to get involved for it. I didn't think I could manage it, you know.
He had a different view of it, didn't he? This Michael Hines.
Oh, well, Michael Hines, the reason why he wanted to taught, he said that we didn't have the proper tradition up here, especially in the singing. So I got two pupils and taught them, and they came second on the all island. And I must admit, he was manly enough. We were in a hotel in La Stowell, and he came up after he was at the competition, and he came in and he says, well, I must congratulate you. He says, that wee fella should have won it. Well, I says, it can be taught. He said, it couldn't be taught. But it can be taught, surely, sure.
This must be the Mihalo Hine, isn't it?
That's him from
Galway, isn't it?
That's him.
He had a particular tradition, so he probably...
Well, it was just that, as I said before, we were very Scotch-orientated, and it seeped into the singing as well as the music, you know.
Well, that's why the Dohertys have got the Scottish music, because it comes through from any show on.
Well, thank God we got rid of them, but I'm glad to have it.
Here.
I'm glad to have the real tradition now in any show. Anywho, I'll do this poem in case we start criticising.
Bring it alive.
I stood alone on a rushy field that lay for years in Lee. I took my spade and sunk it, success my only fee. Day by day I turned the clay to greet the golden sun. Through hard work, dreams and discipline, the clay had finally won. We fingers now like harrow pins that cultivate the clay. They hop and dance upon the strings as nature bids them play. This magnet through the gift of love, it draws this beauty out like sun upon the sleepy clay that makes the blossom sprout.
Dylan, you have a fair share of little stories and anecdotes about different characters, like Pat Mulhern was a bachelor, but there's a story about him. Somebody asked him when he was getting on a bit, was he married?
Oh, that's
story.
Well, that was on his 90th birthday. We were having a do for him in the mill, and I took him into the Lake of Shadows to give him a drink or two first, you know, to get him tuned up. And this lady was very interested, and she come down. She's a solicitor, you know. Mm-hmm. And she was talking away, and she says, "Pat, and you never married?" And Pat says, "Not yet." He was coming home from Letterkenny then one night. He was very quick with the answers, you know, and they were up playing at some kind of a big night, and Joe Dick was played the accordion, and his nephew Hugh was driving, and the places round signposted then, you wouldn't know where you were going. But on the way home, Hugh went on the wrong road two or three times, you see, and he had to turn and come back again. In the meantime, Joe fell asleep in the back. So he woke up and he says to Pat, "Pat, are we on the way home?" Pat turns round and he said, "Sometime." Then I went up another night. And Pat was be waiting on you up, you know, and he says, "Dummy, what do you think of the songs they're writing now?" I says, "I don't know, Pat. What do you think?" "Well," he says, "I was sitting there watching the television the other night, and this man came out and he said this fella was going to sing this great song. And one fella had the guitar a bang, and the other fella had the drums a thump. And he started singing, 'She loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves me, yeah, yeah, yeah.' And the rower thought at me all night, and I thought to myself, well, it's not for the want of books and education. The dumb fella was stuck for a couple of words."
What about this other character, the dairyman, Johnny Cuthams?
Johnny Cuthams? Jesus. Johnny Cuthams was a real character. And the young fellas loved him because he was great crack, and they used to summons him and take him into court. And the solicitors knew him, and the judge knew him, and the boys would be all on the front bench to hear the crack, and the judge would question him, and he was great at answers, you see. So they summons him for everything under the sun this day. But what they didn't count on, the old judge was sick, and they come a new judge out of the, just straight out of the mint, as they say. And Johnny, the summons was read out, you see, and the judge wouldn't even let Johnny speak. The young fellas were on the front, they were raging. Of course, Johnny was really ripping. He didn't get a chance. And he slapped on a big fine on him, you see. And there was wild silence in court, and the young fellas were all saying, "Jesus, what is he going to say?" And this boy says, "He's not out of the chair yet. He'll say something." "What can he say?" They were having a wee debate among themselves. And they looked up, and he was still looking over at the judge, and the judge was looking at him. And he says, "Excuse me, Your Honour, can you fine me for thinking?" The judge says, "No." Well, he says, "I think you're right out." Then he was always on the steps at this pub, you see. And the boys, they enjoyed the crack. And they said to Johnny, they said, "Johnny, why don't you go and get a job? And you could go get a nice suit of clothes and come round the pubs with us for the crack." He says, "Where would you get a job in this town?" He says, "Go and join the British Army as the time they're fighting the Germans." So he promised faithfully that he would go and try and get the job. So the following week, Saturday evening come, round the corner there was Johnny and the bottle of wine again. So they come up to Johnny and says, "Ah, you didn't do what we asked you." He says, "I did." "And what happened?" He says, "When I went down, they told me to get into the room and strip off. And when I came out, they said, 'No, you won't pass.'" "And what did they say was wrong with you?" "They said I had no teeth." "And what did you say, Johnny?" "I says, 'Philip, I thought we were going to fight the Germans, not eat the fuckers.'" Brother Craig, the day the bishop went to see him, he was in Glantia. And Bishop Daly walked in. And he says to Johnny, he says, "I'm Bishop Daly from Derry." Johnny says, "You'll not be long here till I put that out of your head."
What was this other character, Mickey Barr?
Oh, Mickey Barr was a character.
You know, that's Shawnee's characters.
That's John Barr's father. And he hated having to do it at a draper shop there, right beside Peter McGowan's or below it. And this, he was caught this day to do the shop, and he hated it like hell. He loved bagging dogs and one thing and another, you see. So this big fat woman came in looking for a dress. And she pulled down everything in the shop. She could get nothing at all to fit it. She threw everything, as they say, at her ass. And he was getting really angry and fed up, and he went over and he lifted the big blanket off the shelf and he knew her and presented her with it, you see. And she says, "What's this?" He says, "Here, cut a hole in that and throw it over your head. It's the only thing you'll get to fit you in here."
Jenny, we're going to come back to the old times here, like long before Mickey Barr. The living conditions here were pretty chock-a-block, weren't they?
Like, they were. There was no running water for start off. Yes. There was no toilets. You had to go out behind the ditch and get your dockings. There were no, you weren't looking what type of toilet roll you would buy. And you carried the water from a well, and half of the roofs were thatched and some of them boards.
Yes.
And when there come rain, you could see a drop coming down the wall, and you were lucky enough if it wasn't running down on the floor.
When your father's time, many people would be in this house?
Well, in this house here, it was overloaded because I had an aunt called Aunt Biddy Ann. And to start off with, she was married four times. But she married the first man, he was from Tinnego, Phil Doherty, and she had two of a family to him, and he died. Mm-hmm. And then she married a wooden man who had two of a family, Colwell and Buncrana. Mm-hmm. So they had a son between them, and then he died. Mm-hmm. So she left the five wains here to go to America to earn money to send for their passage. Now, there was me granny, me father, me mother, and then there was Pat and Kitty and Annie and Bridget, Mary and me. That was all in the one house with two rooms and a kitchen bed. Mm-hmm. And she sent the fare from America and brought them all out mm-hmm. to America, bar one. The last one was Danny Colwell, that's the one she had to mm-hmm. the wooden man. He was killed in the north. He was going with a girl from Ballymigan, and she went up to see him, and he was cycling along on the bike, and whatever way, he overbalanced, and there were a newly cut heads, you know, the spikes, mm-hmm. and one of the spikes went up through him, and he bled to death. So he didn't manage to get to America, but mm-hmm. she brought the other four, but it was a packed house, I'll tell
you. You've obviously extended a wee bit here and there, but where would they have all, I mean, how would you accommodate that number of people? I mean,
well, they'd be sleeping at two at the top of the bed and two at the bottom, mm-hmm. and somebody asked this fella Fullerton, "How did you manage for a bottle?" He says, "You grab somebody's big toe." Thank you.
that was the initial one, Walsh?
Yes.
Did you write that yourself?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Many compositions have you to your credit?
All of the ones we did the night were compositions.
There's a wonderful lift to them. They really are terrific.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. And do you think, are some of them still being played in tradition in sessions?
Oh, well, these girls here play them all the time, and they can play them. It's great to listen to them. I was doing one night, I couldn't believe how well they sounded. I didn't think it... I liked them when I composed them, but when I hear these guys playing, and they sounded twice as good.
I'm sure, so I
would like to thank them for coming along.
Danny, we were talking about the big nights and so on, but I remember way back in the early 70s, that's how old I am, and I remember I met you in Beauty Biggs, and am I right or wrong in saying this, that the first sessions in Ireland began in that pub?
That is correct, and I'll tell you...
Because the traditional music band was generally a solo thing, apart from Cayley bands, of course, but it was generally a solo tradition, wasn't it?
That was correct. It was Father Jack Gallagher took down a group of students from the community centre down there to Gidor, and he asked me would I go down and play the fiddle. And I says, no way. I says, some young people just want to hear me playing the fiddle. So... my mother and Father Jack were great friends, and of course anything Father Jack wanted, mother says, you might as well go down to the man if he wants you to go. So I agreed I'll go down for one night. So we all arrived down, we're all staying at Francie Mooney's. And after the class in the morning, Father Jack says, we'll go down to Hughie Biggs. Of course they wanted a drink as well. So started off and down. Francie played the fiddle. Mairead was just learning to play the fiddle, and myself. And we started a session there, and that lasted till we went back for the tea at 6 o'clock. As soon as the tea was over, we went back again. Every day for the fortnight, we went down. That was the greatest weekend or fortnight's crack I ever spent. And then people started to gather in. The clan had a couple of them arrived. And then there was Scarab Ray, you know, Michael McGonagall. He arrived with the guitar. And we had a fortnight. Oh, it was nobody went home. I brought down four young fellas from Buncrana, the two Burrs, Dermot Hegarty and Paul Tinney. They begged the mother to go down to me for a night. The phone rang, Mammy, can we stay another night? Mammy, can we stay another night? And they stayed a fortnight. Oh, but wild cracking fancy money.
But it's so commonplace now, I mean, every time, not just in Ireland, but when you go abroad, this session.
That's right.
And people go in and we all play together. But that was those are the beginnings of it.
That was the beginning, and it went for years.
Yes, I remember them doing hi ho.
Oh, that's sweet. That was a chair.
Somebody was getting up to go to the toilet, I think. Didn't want to go.
Somebody lifted the chair. Somebody lifted the chair one day when they were coming down again.
Denny, is it true that, you know, a lot of tunes that people who rewrite tunes or make up their own tunes base them on half heard tunes? Maybe this in the days before tape recorders, of course, but they would have heard a snatch. Couldn't remember the rest, and then made a tune out of that.
Every tune that's composed has to be part of a tune. I mean, there's only 8 notes.
Yes.
And I mean, you've got to hit on something. So whoever can twist them about the best to make them sound nice. It's just like decorating a house. Some people cannot, if they put up too many decorations, you don't see the wall at all. It's like too many decorations in the tune, the melody's lost. So it's the artist that makes the good job of...
You used to hear it said about, you know, that yes, we have no bananas. Yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today. It's hallelujah, of course. Hallelujah.
That's where the inspiration comes from, you know. Nobody can put the finger on.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get the even to think, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because you can't see it.
Must be
somewhere. Where is music?
It's the magic of the whole thing. There must be some ruling power somewhere. If it's not God, there's somebody about. We don't know where we come from or where we're going. Now, nobody knows their birth because they don't remember a thing about it. You're just told that's your daddy and that's your mommy.
Well, Denny, you are the daddy of any Sean music. There's no doubt.
Well, but that's something to be proud of with all these girls here.
Thank you very much, Denny, for your hospitality and all the musicians.
You're all very, very well. Thank you.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Funding Scheme, a Broadcasting Authority of Ireland initiative.